The reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And the passage is entitled, Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. We thank God for his word.
And we're going to use that passage as the basis for our prayers of intercession this morning as well. So let's continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you made each one of us unique. Yet we are all made in your image. Thank you, Lord, that there is one Spirit, that his gifts are given for the common good, and that we are all serving the same Lord. Thank you that you give us different kinds of gifts to be used in different ways to glorify you. We pray for ourselves, that we will never stop asking you for more of your Spirit and more of your gifts, in order that we may build one another up and point people to you. We ask for wisdom, Lord, in our everyday decisions and interactions with people. May we be known for the depth and richness of our wisdom. Give the wisdom of Solomon to our new Prime Minister, whoever that may be, and to the Conservative Party as they elect him. We pray for wisdom for leaders all over the world, whether or not they already know you, that they might act justly, love mercy, and discover what it is to walk humbly with their God. We ask for a greater thirst for knowledge, Lord, so that we are equipped with a deeper understanding of who you are and how you work, and are better able to explain the reason for the hope that is in us. Give such knowledge to those trying to combat the lack of food, water, safety, and education in those parts of the world where these things are lacking or at risk. We ask that you would increase our faith. Thank you that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And as we come to you in faith, may we see answered prayer in our own lives, the lives of our friends and family, in the community around us, in our nation, and in the world. Give such faith to Christians living and working in areas of the world where they are in the minority and where it is a struggle to follow Jesus. Strengthen them daily, encourage them, and may their faith shine for you in the darkness. As your family, Father, we pray too for gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, and the speaking and interpreting of tongues. We ask for these things not for our own glorification, but for the building of your kingdom in this place and beyond, so that people will see that you are God and will believe that you are real and relevant to them. Give these gifts of healing, miracles, and prophecy to those struggling at the moment with ill health, whether physical or mental, in our own fellowship and beyond. We lift to you in particular Hedley, Joyce, Keith, Mary, May, Pat, Rob, Ron, and others known to us. We pray for the miraculous work of God's Spirit in those we love today. Above all, Father, we pray that you would fill us with your love, so that these gifts are used for the common good. And so when they see how much we love one another, everyone will know that we are your disciples and will want to become your disciples too. We pray now, Lord, for your anointing on Steve as he brings your message to us. May we have ears to hear and hearts ready to respond to you. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. Good morning. Good to see you. It's not quite as sunny as it was. You should have come for 9 o'clock because it was sunny when we came in. And it's really good to take this opportunity to share with you some thoughts from 1 Corinthians that was just read to us. We started a new series last week, and Mark Massey, who's the pastor here, introduced us to the subject of spiritual gifts and talked about the spiritual gifts being for the common good, e.g. these gifts weren't given for us to benefit and bless ourselves. They were given to give to other people, to benefit the church and the community of which we're a part. So I'm going to look at the subject of wisdom and knowledge, which come halfway through that passage. But before that, I just want to take some time to look at some verses towards the beginning of that chapter. And they're verses 4, 5 and 6, which will pop up on the screen. This is the verses. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Just read them through for yourself, those words, because I want us to grasp and begin to understand just what those verses represent. Firstly, it acknowledges that there are different gifts, different kinds of service, and different kinds of working. We are all different, and how we lead our lives will differ from one another. We need to understand because that's how God made us, to be individuals. We're not clones or robots or automatons or something like that. We are people made in the image of God. We were knitted together and crafted in our mother's wombs to be different. None of us are the same. We may share qualities or frailties, but we are all by design different. And when you look at the spiritual gifts, don't compare yourselves to those around you, because if you do, you'll probably be disappointed or disillusioned. So as we move on in a moment to look at the gift of wisdom and knowledge, please remember we're not a homogenized people. We're individuals and distinctive. And I want us to see that as a blessing and not as a curse. You know, society and culture don't want us to be different. It wants us to conform and behave in a predictable manner. What has happened is that the church has adopted that message and subtly tries to make us, by expectation, the same. Now, you might wonder why I'm driving this particular message, because I believe it's important to recognize that we are different and we need to understand that. And if we can grasp that, it dramatically changes how we view spiritual gifts. You know, Scripture loves contrasts. And these three verses demonstrate a classic contrast. It says, we are all different, and yet these gifts all come from the same Spirit. In verse 11 it says, all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit. So it's a variety of gifts, but they all come from exactly the same place. Now let's be absolutely clear. All the spiritual gifts originate from God, are empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Lord Jesus, and delivered by the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It's the work of those who brought into being the world on which we stand, who created the cosmos at which we marvel, and who breathed life into our frames. And these gifts cascade through and from the Trinity, and are solely designed to bring blessing, encouragement, and benefit. Just for a moment, I want to explore the two words, spiritual gifts. When you hear the words spiritual gifts, what are the first thoughts that come into your head? I'll make that a question rather than a part of my message. What are the first thoughts that come into your head when you hear the two words, spiritual gifts? Nothing, obviously. It's the same at 9 o'clock, it's as if they'd all nodded off. In the preamble, I do apologise if I've made you go to sleep. What do you think about when you hear the word spiritual gifts? Healing, exactly. Patience. Miracles, yep. Sorry? Something pleasant, that's exactly right. So there's healing, there's prophecies, there's faith, there's blessing. There's people who are called with the gift of encouragement and evangelists and preachers and teachers. So there's a subsidiary question, as in Parliament, you ask one question, then you're allowed to ask another one. So when you hear those things, how does it make you feel? Encouraged. How does it make other people feel? Sorry, too many at once. Excited. Any more? They're all positive things. Claire. Sorry? Inadequate. That's brilliant. Thank you. That's what I've got written down. Excellent. Do you know, talking to people during the week about how that makes you feel, the fact that these gifts are available, these are the words people use to me. Inadequate was the very first one. Unobtainable. Lonely. Because they feel that they're the only one who hasn't got a gift. Sad. For the same reason. A failure. Unspiritual. Useless, dejected, and desperate because they want to have a gift. I find that really sad. That as people of the risen Christ that we're going through life thinking, I'm inadequate. I don't have what everybody else has. So why do we so often fail to see in ourselves what others see in us? And I'm giving you an example from our Connect group. Because this week I asked exactly those two questions of my Connect group. And what I said earlier and what I'm going to say now came directly out of that. Some of those negative attitudes were expressed. Someone was sharing that in no way did they consider themselves to be wise. And yet that was the single gift that came into my head when they speak. Another felt that they had a gift but couldn't find a means of expressing it. The key thing is not to deflect or ignore those questions that this series may uncover, but to face them head on and to move on in our journey of faith. Please don't fall into the open trap of comparison, or you will forever be locked in a cycle of despair. I'm going to suggest that when you are asked to consider your spiritual gifts, you automatically or subconsciously name people who give the impression of being better gifted than you. True? Don't! Because they'll be sitting in their seat thinking exactly the same of you. So we're all sitting here thinking that everybody is better than us. Elevating others and denigrating yourself is not humility. It's a trick. Because if a devil can trick or convince us that we don't have a gift or anything to offer, who benefits? The body of Christ doesn't. And the wider community in which we live is certainly not blessed. So having looked at some of that negative stuff, I think now is the moment to say that everybody has a spiritual gift. And I love the way the Message version of the Bible puts it. It says this: each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people, and the variety is wonderful. So whether or not we're willing and prepared to acknowledge that fact is another matter. But rest assured, we have all, through the Spirit, been gifted a gift. Now, if you are utterly convinced you don't have a gift, I'm going to suggest you do as Mark suggested last week. Find somebody who you love and respect and who will be honest with you and get them to tell you your gifts. Because there are some. And they will run off a list. Half of them you don't believe, but they're true. Or if you don't want to do that, get hold of the Connect group notes. In the back of those groups there is a series of questions and a form to fill in. And if you do that, it will give you a guide as to what your gifting is. You know, there's a verse in 1 Peter 4:10 that says this: each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's what gifts are for. To benefit others. Don't leave this building thinking you haven't got a gift, because you have. Remember that we're all different. That's the way God intended us to be, and so that's the way he made us. Our diversity is our strength and not a weakness. A body made up of eyes alone sees absolutely everything, but can achieve absolutely nothing. We as the body of Christ need to be different so we can, as one, unite and work together for the common good. And just before we look at that passage about wisdom and knowledge, I want to share one other verse from Romans 1, verse 11, where Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. These gifts are for both the common good and strengthening the church community. Anything that can strengthen will enable endurance and ensure blessing. Now, I have to apologise. That was rather a long introduction to get to wisdom and knowledge. But I felt it was really important. As I sat and looked at this passage, I felt it was really important to cover those aspects of our own human doubt and our own human frailty and how we see ourselves. So let's take some time now to consider that 8th verse, which contains the first two gifts in this passage. It says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Firstly, we need to understand that wisdom referred to here is a gift. You can't beg, steal, or borrow wisdom, or any other of the other gifts for that matter. And secondly, we need to see and understand, it does not say wisdom and knowledge are given to all as a gift, rather to one and to another. So what is wisdom? Anybody got a clue what wisdom is? That's exactly what I thought. When Mark gave me the preaching series and said you're preaching on wisdom and knowledge, and you sit there and think, oh, that's all right. And then you actually begin to work it out and go, this isn't as easy as... No wonder he's gone to be in a field down in Swindon. So is wisdom the ability to know right from wrong? That'd be good. Okay. Is it the ability to make a right decision? Is it the ability to understand scripture? To give good counsel? And to know God. Okay, we'll go with those then. Wisdom can be any of those, or none of those. Because wisdom is a very distinctly two-sided coin. James has quite a bit to say about wisdom in his book, in the third chapter. And he says there are two kinds of wisdom. And he says the two kinds of wisdom are earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And they are evidenced in two contrasting ways. There's a verse going to pop up on the screen that talks about earthly wisdom. It says, but if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. I found that passage and read it and thought, okay, wherever there's disorder and evil practice, there must be bitter envy and selfish ambition and denial of the truth. So how does that make us as a country? How does that make us feel as a world, as we engage with those thoughts? Where James says that disorder and evil will flourish where this wisdom is unspiritual and of the devil. That's one side of the coin of wisdom. The other side is heavenly wisdom, and the next slide talks about that. But he says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And it is from the pure aspect of wisdom that all these other things flow. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And as I said earlier, the Bible is full of contrast. And those two contrasts and explanations of wisdom are contrasts. So having looked at earthly and heavenly wisdom, and in the context of this series from our reading in Corinthians, I think I'm pretty confident in saying that the gift Paul referred to here is a heavenly gift. That seem reasonable? It's a heavenly gift. And will as such reflect those latter qualities, which in themselves are nothing less than a perfect reflection of the qualities of the giver, who is God. You know, we need wisdom to make sense in our world. And Louis Giglio said this, we live in a world that is drowning in information but starving for wisdom. It knows so much and yet is so incapable of using that information wisely. You know, never before in history of mankind have we had access to so much information so quickly and yet so seem so unable to use that for the common good. It is for a lack of wisdom that the world will stumble and not for a lack of information. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28, it says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And that's not a fear born out of terror, but out of a fear born from an understanding of just how awesome and amazing God really is. And we sang about that, didn't we, in one of our earlier songs. And if we can allow ourselves to accept who God really is, then we can begin the journey of understanding wisdom. So what's the point of wisdom? And why does it have to be a particular spiritual gift? Now, I'm of the opinion that there is common wisdom, a wisdom that's available to all and can be used by all for the benefit of all. However, I'm equally convinced that God can grant to his people a particular gift of wisdom, an ability above and way beyond that of common wisdom. And we all know and recognise those particular individuals. And for those of you who may remember Michael Napper, he was a long-standing member of our church, and he was a man who I regarded as being wise. If I wanted wise counsel or advice, he was the guy I went to speak to. And we all need people like that people who have immense wisdom in our lives. We need them on speed dial so we can ring them up and ask them for wisdom and advice, so we can make the right decisions at the right time and for the right reason. So wisdom's a really important quality of life. And I want to leave that for a moment and look at the aspect of knowledge in this same verse. The dictionary defines knowledge as facts, information, and skills acquired through experience or education. And as I said earlier, we are all well aware that the world is awash with information or knowledge. And as the time goes on, that knowledge will only grow exponentially. So in parallel with wisdom, there is a knowledge. There is common knowledge, which is available for all, and should be used for the common good. In addition, there will be times when specific insight is required for a particular purpose, perhaps in a pastoral setting or when explaining scripture. This can be described as a gift of knowledge, the ability above and way beyond that of common knowledge. And the Bible is always full of surprises. And if I was to quote to you the words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of," what would you say? Wisdom. Yes, see, if you go and read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's a confirmation that those two characters are nothing but a reflection of the character of God. These gifts are attributes of the loving God we serve. You know, someone described the difference between wisdom and knowledge like this. Knowledge knows what a gun can do and how to use it, while wisdom knows when to leave it in its holster. How true is that? Sadly, we live in a world where we know how to use a gun and we know what to do with it, and we can't keep it in its holster. Sam Storms is an American author, and he wrote a book aptly titled The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts, which I can say is well worth reading. And he says, we look at each other and ask, was that a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a prophecy? It may be that we will never know, or it may be that we don't ever need to know. What's important for us to know, however, is that God still speaks, and he does so for the benefit and blessing and encouragement of his children. You know, we need to be a part of that journey. It is for us to bring benefit, blessing and encouragement, even if it means sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we will succeed and sometimes we won't. But we should ensure that those times do not cloud our desire to help in the future. A couple of months ago, Jane and I went on a family holiday down to Herefordshire, and we were looking after ourselves, self-catering, so we took virtually our entire flat in the back of our car and drove off and had a really great time. We came back, we stopped at a motorway service station. As we left that service station, walked through the car park, there was a guy we noticed was trying to refix his driver's side wing mirror to his car with decorative sellotape. How it had fallen off, I had no idea, but he'd obviously been into the shop and bought a tiny roll of tape with hearts on it, and he was doing his best to get, anyway, it was obviously not going to survive getting out of the car park, let alone going down the motorway at 70 miles an hour. And Jane said to me, why don't you do a random act of kindness? And I'm thinking, I'm quite enjoying watching him trying to tape this thing on. So anyway, we didn't pay much attention to him for a moment, and then she said, you do realise that in the boot of our car we've got a roll of duct tape, gaffer tape. So I said, no, I'd cleanly forgotten that we had that in our boot. So anyway, she's rather more forceful than I am, so she said, go and do it. So I did it in the end, basically. I did as I was told. Got the roll of gaffer tape out of the boot, went across to this guy and said, this might be rather more useful. So he literally wound it up to the point where it would probably survive to the outside of the car park. And then he was very appreciative. We went home. End of story. I didn't think about that until about 2 weeks ago. Until I realised that is exactly how we go through life. We have at our disposal a whole bootful of God-given resources, but we've forgotten they're there and we subsequently rarely, if ever, use them. All of us have times in our life when we will need help. And so often that need goes unmet, simply because those that could help don't. I could have watched that guy struggle quite happily without lending my tape. I had forgotten it was there. What have you got in your boot that you could help other people with? You know, perhaps the best way for us to leave this message is to quote something that a guy called John Piper said. He said this. He wants to encourage us not to get focused on what your gift is, but rather ask the question, how can I help? Then simply do or say whatever seems helpful. If it helps, you may well have discovered one of your gifts. I think that's really wise counsel, and it bears thinking about. Don't be anxious, just help. In fact, that's what Jesus did. Jesus modelled in his ministry. He helped. And then he helped again. And then he helped some more. And that to me sums up the confusion that so often surrounds the subject of spiritual gifts. We become fixated on the gift itself and simply fail to help. We are so focused on what we think we don't have that we forget the gifts, as in the boot, which God has made available to us. And in that forgetting, people's lives are impoverished. I went to a wedding reception yesterday at Birch Farm and had the opportunity just for 10 minutes to sit in this field and look at the countryside around me. And these words came to mind, so I wrote them down on my phone. Gifts in this context are given to be given, not hoarded. These gifts are designed by function to support others, to engage with those in crisis or celebration, to encourage and sometimes chastise or correct. They are not for personal benefit, although there will often be a blessing in this exercising of a gift, a progression of our faith or a greater understanding of God and his divine purposes. Ultimately, the benefit of the gifts, and as with all scripture, is to point us to God, and for then us to give him all the glory, praise, honour and passion. You know, the corporate church and those who follow Christ should be seen as a place and a people who are willing to help, prepared to use their wisdom and knowledge and other spiritual gifts to bring benefit for the common good. That's our mission, is to bring benefit to the common good. And I invite the band to come back in a moment, we're going to sing. But I want to ask the question, what is it about spiritual gifts that is sometimes so difficult to engage with? It's something that God has given to us freely. After the first service, Alison came up to me and gave me a verse from 1 Corinthians 2:12. Which helps in this situation. If you're really struggling with accepting the spiritual gifts or thinking you haven't got any or can't understand what it means, this verse may speak to you. It says, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us." The Holy Spirit is wanting us to understand the gifts that we have been provided with. And I want us to take the opportunity in a moment as we sing. And I'm going to suggest that we remain seated for this song. It's a song we all really know well. It's "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." And no matter where you are in that journey of accepting spiritual gifts or denying spiritual gifts or refusing spiritual gifts or wanting to exercise them, the words of this last verse should strike home to all of us. He comes to cleanse and to heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. It doesn't matter where you are or how you feel or where you've come from. God wants to speak to you and minister to you now. If you're feeling broken and hurt and in need of healing, pray that God will intervene. You may think that you're too hard for God. You're not. In faith, receive from him this morning.